Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio.
Yeah, look, it's really exciting for us and for Harry. I mean, to get him committed long-term, it's a big deal, along with Charlie, but to have those two key pillars locked away is really exciting for our footy club and speaks volumes for the environment that's been created that our players want to stay and want to play together. So it's been good negotiations, really, really well done all the way through. Dave Trotter at Hemisphere does a great job and, we're wrapped to have it completed.
That's the voice of Nick Austin today announcing the extension by 7 years to make it an 8-year deal in totality of Harry Mackay as the full forward for the Carlton Football Club. Sausers, the man who recruited Harry Mackay, how does that make you feel?
Fantastic result for Harry. I mean, to have an 8-year contract is huge. Like, there wouldn't be too many players in the competition. If any, has anyone got an 8-year? Has anyone done an 8-year other than?
Just trying to think off the top.
Lynch from Brisbane years ago.
Yeah, well, Buddy signed the 9-year, which has just expired. But yeah, there's a few sevens I think floating around at the moment. In fact, the couple of Richmond players in Tim Taranto will get a 7-year deal, and that's underway as we speak. But okay, great deal for Harry. Is it a great deal for Carlton Sauce?
The only thing I think, look, Harry's. It's pretty difficult to find key position players, right? Let's put that on the table. Coleman Mendelist. I think the only concern I reckon down the track is, and just reading between the lines with the contracts they've done with Charlie and Cripper and Zach Williams and so forth.
And Walsh is, and
it's great that they've stayed at that footy club. By the way, is that. It looks like they're basically going to pay their top 7, 8 players, 9 players, and then the rest of the group are just going to have to fit in a line and probably take discounts along the way. So, which can be dangerous purely because, you know, you get some players that pop a bit, you're going to leave yourself a little bit vulnerable there. But they may have more information in terms of where the TPP increases are coming. I guess when you're doing those long-term contracts, what you've got to look at is making sure that the TPP increases aren't in those contracts, because that's where you can get a bit of a saving along the way. So whether they're not in there or there's only a small percentage increase.
Wouldn't the managers want the increases?
Generally, they do. Yeah. Generally, they do, but that's where you've got to negotiate reasonably hard. Okay. So what they're saying, I think, is that they've got the core of the group, that this is what's going to win Carlton a flag or get us to success. Our top 7, 8 players, yep, we're happy with. And then we're going to have to just manage the remainder of our players on contracts that fit in with us.
It's great security for him. Just a couple of other players. I mean, Josh Kelly at the Giants had a 2+6-year arrangement, 6-year option basically. Yeah. So that was an 8-year deal effectively once he agreed to the option his way. There's a couple of other people at the Giants on long-term deals. But Sauce, I was under the impression Mackay was on close to $900,000 anyway. Yeah. So it's going to be that figure plus some on this new deal, I would have thought. Now, I'm only, that's me on the outside. Curnow, I would imagine, with the new deal, is going to be on something similar, if not more than that. So there's your two big boys. I think they're worth every cent, by the way. But about $1 million each for them. Trips would be on $1 million as well. So there's a third player on about $1 million. Sam Walsh, again, Sauce, I would imagine he's on $750,000+ already, maybe more.
Wiedering's probably up there as well.
On that number? On that sort of number?
He'd be certainly $750,000+.
Wow. And we know that Zach Williams came in on money not a lot dissimilar to the Wiedering number you've just mentioned. And Adam Sard's on good money too.
I don't know what their model is. I mean, the only thing you worry about...
pay a lot of money to big players.
Look, if they get a flag, you know what? They're geniuses. Like, well done. And that's what you know, the supporters want. That's what, obviously...
And Sauce is another one. Mitch McGovern, which I think you would be aware of that number, which again is high. I don't know how they're squeezing all these guys
in. Well, he's last year. He's got a year to go. So and it's when they come out. At what age are they coming out of these contracts? So right at the minute, if you look at the Harry one, it's probably 33. When does Cripps get out? 33. Zach Williams, probably the same, 32, 33. So it's when they come out of contract that can be a concern because, you know, they could tip at 30, 31 years of age and all of a sudden you're carrying them the last 2 years on $1 million. So that can be a concern. So
it doesn't matter if you get a flag, it doesn't matter. You can have all these conversation bets are off.
100%, 100%. But you can see on the reverse side what's happened at the Giants. and what Collingwood have had to have done.
Mm.
And, you know, we're seeing what's happening at the Gold Coast in terms of having to give players away and giving up picks.
At least GWS and Collingwood got to grand finals.
100%.
And lost grand finals, but at least they got there. And
I mean, this is obviously all in for Carlton in terms of this is the group. But the only doubt is, and I think, you know, the players are obviously quality players, but they haven't played finals.
Mm.
They've not played finals yet.
How do you look at all this, David? From maybe if you put on your football department boss hat that you've had at two senior levels at two footy clubs. Again, sometimes it's just what's in front of you deal with, don't you? I mean, you don't necessarily set out to, I think, have this situation at Carlton, but you couldn't lose Cripps. You couldn't lose Walsh. You couldn't lose Curnow. You couldn't lose McCoy. So it's disastrous if any of those players want to go in terms of how you know, you got them on your books. You can see the talent. You know they're superstars if it all comes together, and they already are superstars. So how do you see it, though, now that you've had, you know, the time in the game in those positions where you make the calls on such matters?
I was surprised, I must admit, this morning when I got up and saw the length of the deal. We don't know, and very, very few times we get the details. Like if it's a 5+2 option and he's got to hit either game trigger or a certain components of those and then he gets the extra two that's at a limited cost, then that to me makes sense. I get that. If it's a straight 7-year deal, I'm going the risk here, the risk mitigation aspect. I mean, we talked last week as to how clubs get themselves into trouble with managing their cap and back-ending deals. Well, this is one that you can get yourself squeezed because you need to ask three or four of the top enders to take a cut. You're trying to bring another player in, we'll back-end it. If you've bell-curved it in the way that, you know, a lot do and try to pay them the high-end portions in the middle and then roll it off at the back end, and we'll pick up that as we go because we've got space at the back.
Mm.
It doesn't come to fruition. The space at the back end of the deals always gets used up by something else.
Yeah.
So the risk for me is what happens in year 5 and 6 and 7, if you're trying to bring another couple of players in the Carlton think, well, we now need to go and get, you know, another player.
Yeah.
A Joe Danaher, or, you know, I'm just using him as an example for Brisbane. How the hell do you fit him in? Oh, well, we'll take a discount. We'll pay in the back end of your deal. Then you get into trouble.
Yep.
That's where you can potentially run yourself
just
at risk.
Defer the problem. Getting reminded by a couple of people on text here too that both Oliver and Petrarca are on really long-term deals at Melbourne. Petrarca 2029, Oliver till 2030.
Brings up an interesting point. Where do you spend your money? Do you spend your money in the midfield or do you spend your money up forward where you're going to get goals? You know, like,
well,
it's an interesting how you strategize around how you spend your cap.
It's a fascinating conversation, isn't it? I mean, I suppose, Melbourne has got a bit of both, haven't they? Because Gawn's on massive money. Well, as in, contextually speaking, big money. They're bringing another player in Grundy, who's going to be on good big money. Now, whether it's all from Melbourne or partly from Collingwood, it's still big money. So they're having a bet each way, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose Carlton is to a point too, isn't it? Because Cripps and Walsh are amongst that, and obviously the two big forwards are.
They've actually delivered, though.
Melbourne has.
Melbourne.
Won a flag, I get the feeling, Sosh, you wouldn't have put, even though you recruited him and you've got your heart in his career in the AFL,
I
get the feeling you wouldn't be putting these players on for these length of deals.
I think from the Blues' point of view is how many players are on long-term deals. It's not.
Well, we just read it off later on.
You're worried about the gap and who can grow and who can remain at the
and
club.
And also the risk of one or two of those players falling over.
Yeah.
If you've got 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, say there's 7, 8.
Well, we just read it off 8, didn't we? Yeah.
So the risk of two of those falling over, it can hurt you at the end. So it's how many are on long-term deals.
Mm.
Yeah.
Does Harry Mackay play ruck enough, Sauce?
I
put it to you because that was what I was hearing during the year, that he just doesn't want to subject himself to the ruck. Now, only for 5 minutes a quarter or not even sometimes, but is he reluctant?
I'm unsure whether he's reluctant or not, but look, I think when you're 202, you should be able to pinch hit at least around, okay, if you're not prepared to go in the centre square bounce, I get that. I wouldn't want to go in the centre square bounce, to be honest. Like that's, but around the ground, it's a little bit of wrestling, body on body, protecting the fall of the ball, really.
Mm-hmm.
You should be
at
able
least
to
forward
do,
half. At
well,
times.
No, well, I mean,
or forward 50.
Forget the centre square bounce. Anywhere else around the ground, you should be able to go up and provide a contest.
It allows you to stay in the game at times
100%.
Too. You know, like a variation, you can put that opposition ruckman to the sword by pushing forward hard. It's all those components that he's got that skill set to do. I mean, obviously you haven't watched him close enough to do that, but
it's actually nice to get a couple of touches around the ground. It gets you involved a little bit. I mean, when you're deep, when you're cold deep, it's it's really difficult. But to think that, you know what, I can go up the ground for 3 or 4 minutes and get involved, that helps your touch, helps your feel of the game.
Mm. Yeah. Look, well done to the Pies, for the Blues for doing it. Like, they've got it. They've got their guys are starting to get their ducks in a row. I guess it's just the only question is around the length of time and how that contract's constructed and the risk going forward. That's my only thing. But well done for getting it all in that direction. Yep.